From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, we begin with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Labuan Bajo is expected to host international forums. 5 Indonesian citizens are again held hostage by Abu Sayyaf. Minister Mahfud MD will coordinate with Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi. Now the news in details. The tourist destination of Labuan Bajo, located in East Nusa Tenggara, is expected to host some international forums and events to promote the region. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, President Joko Widodo during a limited meeting attended at a hotel in Labuan Bajo, wherein the attendees also comprise his ministers and government officials, stated on Monday. Most importantly, the president wants to develop Labuan Bajo to host the G20 summit as well as Asian summit, both to be held in 2023. For this plan, the preparations are already underway from now on. The president remarked while addressing Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Wisnu Tama, State-Owned Enterprises Minister Erick Thohir, Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya, East Nusa Tenggara's Governor Victor Laiskodat, and others. President Joko Widodo needs to improve the quality of local products as well as upgrade the infrastructure, landscape and waste management, as well as provide good water. Coordinating Minister for Politics, Law and Security Mahfud MD admitted that he would coordinate with Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi regarding 5 Indonesian citizens who were held hostage by the Abu Sayyaf group. That was said by Minister Mahfud MD in Jakarta on Monday. Earlier, it was reported that the abductions of an Indonesian citizen who worked in the Malaysian state of Sabah in Tambisan waters, Tunku Lahat Datu, Sabah, Malaysia, continued. Of the 8 crew members, all Indonesian citizens, 5 were kidnapped and 3 others were freed along with their ships. South Korea on Monday had confirmed that the first case of coronavirus spread in China. Director of South Korean Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, KCDC, Jong Eun-kyung, said that a 35-year-old Chinese woman who flew from Wuhan was confirmed to have a new type of coronavirus. Jong Eun-kyung, as reported by CNA TV media, explained that the Chinese woman flew from Wuhan to Incheon International Airport, South Korea, on Sunday. At 8 a.m. on January 20, Korea Center for Disease Control and Prevention confirmed a patient diagnosed with coronavirus infection from Wuhan, China. The confirmed patient was identified in quarantine phase, and there is no community exposure. Those that have come in contact, including passengers and aircraft crew, are being investigated. Like we did with MERS and SARS, we'll check the patient's movement first. Her flight was quite short of about 3 hours. Passengers who sat close to the patients either in front or behind and crew members who handled her will be classified as close contacts and they will be monitored. A CNA TV reported the patient who has the coronavirus told South Korean authorities that she felt symptoms such as fever, chills, and muscle ache on Saturday and had received a prescription for flu from a hospital in Wuhan. The South Korea Center for Disease Control and Prevention increases the level of infection alertness from attention to caution after the first case of the virus confirmed and will expand monitoring. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Deputy Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Angela Tanusudibyo spoke of the government augmenting all options to expedite the development of 5 super priority tourism destinations, including encouraging foreign investment. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Angela in a written statement in Jakarta on Monday stated that the foreign investment option can be pursued by adhering to the rules in Indonesia. Not only foreign capital, but the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy is also encouraging domestic private parties to invest in developing 5 super priority tourism destinations. All options that offer significant benefits to the community will be maximized. Angela highlighted the government target to develop infrastructure in the 5 super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Labuan Bajo, Mandalika, Liktoba, and Likupang. The development of infrastructure in the 5 super priority tourism destinations should be completed by 2020, in tune with President Joko Widodo's instruction. President of France Emmanuel Macron and U.S. President Donald Trump have agreed to extend negotiations on a dispute over French tax on digital giants to the end of the year, postponing Washington's threat of sanction against Paris, a French diplomatic source said on Monday, as quoted by AFP.com. The source said the French and U.S. leaders who spoke on Sunday had agreed to give negotiations a chance to find a solution in an international framework and avoid a trade war that will benefit no one. He also stated that Macron tweeted earlier Monday that he had a great discussion with Trump on the issue. He explained that the two governments will work together on a good agreement to avoid tariff escalation. China has confirmed human-to-human transmission in an outbreak of a new SARS-like virus as the number of cases soared, and the World Health Organization said it would consider declaring an international public health emergency. As stated by AFP.com, the coronavirus, which has spread to 3 other Asian countries and infected more than 200 people in China, has caused alarm because of its genetic similarities to severe acute respiratory syndromes, or SARS, which killed nearly 650 people across mainland China and Hong Kong in 2002-2003. The discovery of human-to-human transmission comes as hundreds of millions of people are crisscrossing the country in packed trains, buses, and planes this week to celebrate the Lunar New Year's with relatives. Health authorities in the central city of Wuhan, where a seafood market has been identified as the center of the outbreak, said Tuesday that an 89-year-old man became the fourth person to die from the virus and that 15 medical staff had been infected. Britain Prince Harry has left the UK to rejoin his wife Meghan and son Archie in Canada, British media reported, as the couple start a new life after their shock exit from the royal fold. As quoted by AFP.com, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex are bowing out entirely from representing the British monarchy in a crisis that has shaken the centuries-old institution. The prince boarded an evening flight to Vancouver after attending a UK's Africa Investment Summit in London in what is expected to be one of his final official engagements as a working royal, the Daily Telegraph reported. It stated that the departure will be deemed symbolic, coming just 2 days after Buckingham Palace announced that it was severing all official ties with Sussexes as they walk away from public life. The prince and his U.S. former actress wife have struggled with the scrutiny since their wedding in May 2018, and the 35-year-old said, "There was no alternative to stepping back from frontline royal duties to achieve a more peaceful life with their infant son." Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program commentary. The title of today's commentary is based on the Omnibus Law to Create Employment. The government and parliament must explain it to the community. Well, listener, the government has finished the draft of the omnibus law to create employment. This week, the draft will be submitted to the House of the Representatives, DPR, and is targeted to be completed within 3 months. Omnibus law is a law created to target one major issue that might revert or amend separate laws to be simplified. So far, the government has scrutinized 74 laws that will be affected by the omnibus law. According to President Joko Widodo, if the government only combines the laws one by one and then submits a revision to the DPR, the process can take time more than 50 years. Based on the omnibus law, the existing laws that are viewed to hamper can be revised simultaneously. In fact, there are 2 omnibus laws submitted by the government to the DPR. They are omnibus law to create employment and omnibus law of taxation. However, the omnibus law to create employment is criticized by a lot of people, remembering that there are some points in the omnibus law draft that are unacceptable, because they think that this will threaten the welfare of workers, such as the imposition of workers' hourly wages. The workers assume that there is an effort to eliminate the minimum wage by setting the hourly wage. In other words, if the workers work fewer than 40 hours a week, their wages will be automatically below the minimum wage. On the contrary, according to the government, this hourly wage regulation does not eliminate the minimum wage rule. This rule gives flexibility to the business entities or companies in providing salaries to temporary workers. The rules for hourly wage schemes are intended to accommodate certain types of work, such as consultant and part-time workers. In addition, the hourly wage payment rules are intended to accommodate new types of work in the digital economy industry with millennial workers who want flexible working hours. Based on this, socialization is needed for the community to understand correctly what the objectives of the government are in making regulations. Thus, biased information amid the community can be prevented. Now, the DPR test to study the draft omnibus law proposed by the government is whether it is advantageous or disadvantageous to the community. The task of the parliament members is also to provide a correct explanation to the people they represent and the reason for their decision on the draft of the omnibus law. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history starts from an event on January 21, 1968, Khe Sanh War. Khe Sanh War was the most controversial war during Vietnam War on January 21, 1968, where the war was begun. The U.S. Navy seized a military base which was previously a post belonging to French. From the base, the U.S. force conducted patrol and launched attack to the Ho Chi Minh movement in Laos. The war was begun by shootout between North Vietnam and the U.S. between 2 hills of the northwest of Khe Sanh. A day later, the force of North Vietnam attacked Khe Sanh village. By using long-distance artillery, they also attacked a base in Khe Sanh. The next event was in 1985, Borobudur Temple Bomb. Borobudur Temple bombing was a bombing event on the historical heritage Borobudur Temple, which was from Sailendra Dynasty period, located at Magelang, Central Java, on January 21, 1985. It was the second attack on the name of Jihad that occurred in Indonesia after the hijacking of Garuda Airlines DC-9 Voila by a member of Jihad Command in 1981. The attack was led by Ibrahim, alias Muhammad Jawad, alias Krishna. After the investigations, Ibrahim was determined as the mastermind behind the bombing.
The last event was in 2016. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the first fast train development in Southeast Asia. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the development of fast train Jakarta-Bandung at Mandalawangi Tea Plantation, West Bandung. According to the president, the fast train is one of factors that can make a country to win competitiveness. The project was funded through investment of consortium between Indonesia, state-owned enterprises, and China so that it does not state budget. Jakarta-Bandung fast train will be the first fast train in Southeast Asia. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
That was Mariangela with a song entitled So In Love. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we will give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it's nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The topic of My Indonesia today is ASEAN must become an engine of peace and stability. Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said at the ASEAN Foreign Ministers Retreat meeting in Nha Trang, Vietnam, on 16 until 17 January 2020, that the Indonesian government emphasized full support for the Vietnam's leadership this year, which had the theme cohesive and responsive. As quoted by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs website kemlu.go.id, in the meeting, Minister Retno Marsudi explained, Indonesia is happy to know that ASEAN has completed many lines of action of the ASEAN Community Vision 2025 and the ASEAN Community Blueprint. This year's midterm review is an important step to ensure that full realization of the ASEAN vision and its blueprint. In addition, she added as a follow-up to the ASEAN's views on the Indo-Pacific, Indonesia said that it would hold an ASEAN World Economic Forum on Indo-Pacific infrastructure and connectivity in Jakarta on 7 until 9 of July 2020. This meeting will involve the governments and business people of ASEAN and Indo-Pacific countries. Indonesia also emphasized that ASEAN must remain an engine of peace and stability. According to Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, ASEAN must be consistent in ensuring peace and stability in the region, including in the South China Sea. At the ASEAN Foreign Minister Retreat, ASEAN agreed to ensure that international law, including the 1982 United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, or UNCLOS, is respected by all parties. Besides, Indonesia also encourages ASEAN to prioritize the issues of women, peace and security. Indonesia will hold a second regional training on women, peace and security this year. Regarding Vietnam's priority for leadership in 2020, Indonesia hopes that the AICHR term of reference review can be completed under Vietnam's leadership. Indonesia also encourages ASEAN to more actively collaborate in ensuring the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership RCEP to be signed in 2020. In promoting ASEAN identity, awareness and pride, Indonesia proposes the adoption of an ASEAN narrative on ASEAN identity, which is currently being discussed at the ASEAN Sociocultural Community Pillar. The ASEAN Foreign Minister Retreat was the first meeting held by Vietnam during its presidency. Through the theme cohesive and responsive, ASEAN is expected to be able to strengthen unity and increase its presence in the community. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
There was the song entitled Guna Manusia, sung by Baraswara. Well, listener, for the next segment, we will present to you Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I will introduce you to Kupat Sableng, a typical food from Brebes, Central Java. Ketupat or kupat is an Indonesian typical food, which is made of rice and wrapped with young coconut leaf or janur. Usually, this food served in Islamic religious celebrations such as Eid al-Fitri and eaten along with side dishes. Indonesian people know various kinds of ketupat and every region has its own characteristic. If you go to Brebes, Central Java, you will find one of variant ketupat, namely kupat sableng. If you are in Brebes, I suggest you to eat this food, which has savory and spicy taste. Kupat sableng combines ketupat with coconut milk sauce and blengong sate as side dish. The sate is made of blengong meat. Blengong is a kind of bird which is a combination of duck and itik or Muscovy duck. Firstly, blengong meat is soaked in seasoning of coconut milk and skewered by using stick. After the seasoning being permeated, the sate was roasted with charcoal. When you buy kupat sableng, you can determine the chili you need in accordance with your taste. The chili then entered into the sauce of ketupat. When kupat sableng being eaten, savory taste of its coconut milk, which is mixed with chili, is tasted so delicious. Blengong sate with soft texture becomes complementary of the taste. If you are interested to enjoy this food, there are many stalls which sell kupat sableng in Brebes. Usually, this food is sold in the afternoon until evening. The price is relatively cheap, only 7,000 rupiah per portion. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Kupat Sableng from Brebes, Central Java. Thank you for listening.
cinta kepadamu.
You have just listened to the song entitled Crazy Over You, sung by Rini Wulandari. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you some Indonesian vocabularies and expression, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. It introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration of Voice of Indonesia with the Language and Book Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Our topic this time is menanyakan nomor telepon, or in English, asking for a telephone number. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on menanyakan nomor telepon, or in English, asking for telephone number. In the car on the way to the hotel, Kevin talked to Pak Imran, an officer from the university who picked Kevin up at the airport. Kevin asked for Imran's number that can be contacted.
Boleh minta nomor telepon Bapak?
Boleh. Nomor HP ya?
Iya.
0851-234-5987.
Terima kasih, Pak.
Baik, Mas.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the expression and vocabulary related to today's theme, menanyakan nomor telepon, which means asking for a telephone number. I will say the words 2 times and you may repeat after me. Boleh minta nomor telepon Bapak? Boleh minta nomor telepon Bapak, which means may I have your telephone number? Nomor HP saya 085-123-4597. Nomor HP saya 085-123-4597, which means my cell phone number is 085-123-45987. Berapa nomor telepon Anda? Berapa nomor telepon Anda, which means what's your phone number? In the conversation you heard, Kevin asked for a telephone number by saying, "Boleh minta nomor telepon Bapak?" Boleh minta nomor telepon Bapak, which means, "May I have your telephone number?" To request a telephone number, you can also ask, "Boleh minta nomor telepon Anda?" Boleh minta nomor telepon Anda, which means also, "May I have your telephone number?" You can also ask, "Berapa nomor telepon Anda?" Berapa nomor telepon Anda, which means, "What is your telephone number?" If you want to request someone's mobile number, you can replace the word telephone with the word ponsel or HP. An example of its use is, "Berapa nomor HP kamu?" Berapa nomor HP kamu, which means, "What is your mobile number?" To respond to that question, you can start the answer by saying, nomor telepon saya, which means my telephone number, or directly mention your telephone number. Let's listen to the following example. Boleh minta nomor HP kamu? Boleh minta nomor HP kamu, which means, "Can I have your mobile number?" 081232215678 081232215678 which means 0812321567A. Berapa nomor telepon kamu? Berapa nomor telepon kamu? Which means, "What is your phone number?" Nomor telepon saya 081232215678. Nomor telepon saya 081232215678, which means my telephone number is 081232215678. Berapa nomor ponselmu? Berapa nomor ponselmu? Which means, "What is your mobile number?" 081231578 081232215678 or 0232215678. Before ending, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia Today, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian Today. For more details, let's listen to the example of conversation once more.
Boleh minta nomor telepon Bapak?
Boleh. Nomor HP ya?
Iya.
0851234598.
Terima kasih, Pak.
Baik, Mas.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Kau bawa
There was Adera with a song entitled Lebih Indah. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.winews.id. Next, we are going to inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a melody song to you entitled Hanya Nyanyian, sung by Tiara Mon. Composed by H.S. Effendi, the song Hanya Nyanyian tells about someone's complaints on their life which is unlucky. The music of the song is wistful with slow tempo. Besides Tiara Mon, the song was also popularized by some singers such as Said Effendi, Rama Epama, and Dewi Yul. Tiara Mon is the singer from Padang Pariaman, West Sumatra. He is known as a composer and popularizing Minang regional songs such as Badindin, Risaulai, and Usah Diratoi. He also popularized a song entitled Bapisah Bukan Nyobacare in a duet with Eli Kasim. In addition to popularized Minang songs, Tiara Mon also popularized Malay songs. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Hanya Nyanyian by Tiara Mon. Enjoy the song.
Tiada ada harta padaku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Jalan bersamanya di kau.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to our email address voi@voinews.id.